The reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marvelled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which there was town was built, so they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to his word.
Amen. We like to invite Pastor John to come. And can we stand, because we're just going to pray the blessing of God in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for our leader, Father. We thank you for our pastor, Lord. This morning, I pray, Lord, you will fill in them like a well that never runs dry. Lord Jesus, we pray that the overflow, Lord, we will drink from that well as you manifest your word through him. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, that you will speak expressively each word that comes out of his mouth, so that the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart will connect with us, Lord, because it is coming from heaven. So right now, Father, as we sit back and we drink from that well, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that your overflow will downpour in him, in Jesus' name. Over to you, John.
Amen. Thank you, Paulette, indeed. It's good to be in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's sharper and powerful, more powerful. And so we're here to really look and dig into the Word of God. And if you come here regularly, you'll know that I'm going through a series on the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke, entitled Jesus is for Everyone. And last time we were looking at Jesus tempted like us in chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And this time we're looking at Jesus is good news in Luke 4, 14 to 30. In these verses, Jesus has returned victorious from the wilderness where he has been tempted by the devil. And Jesus, praise God, has not succumbed to those temptations. And we're told that Jesus returns to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit to begin his ministry here on earth. And we're told that Jesus goes to his hometown, Nazareth, where he was brought up, where people knew him, where his family were, where he was well known. And he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And using Isaiah 61, 1 to 2, he launches his manifesto of mission. In verses 18 and 19, quoting Isaiah 61, 1 to 2, these are some of the most important verses in the whole Bible. Jesus is proclaiming that he is the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. These are the reasons, these verses are the reasons that God sent him to earth. These are the priorities of his mission. And so he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This, Jesus is saying, is what I have come to do. And so let us look at each one of these mission statements, and we could do a sermon on each one. But I'm going to look at an overview of these. So first of all, Jesus is good news to the poor. Jesus is good news to the poor. We all like to receive good news, don't we? You are a very strange person if you like receiving bad news. Very odd person who likes and enjoys receiving bad news. And Jesus says, "I have come to bring good news. God has sent me to proclaim good news." So this message is not coming just from Jesus, it's sent from heaven itself. He's come to preach good news, and he's come to be good news. And the Greek word for good news is evangelion, from which we get the words evangelism and evangelical, etc. And what is the good news that Jesus preached? Well, it's summed up in the words of words like salvation, forgiveness, freedom, release, recovery, restoration, healing, God's favor and blessing. And who is this good news for? It tells us the good news is for the poor. And the Greek word for poor means the downtrodden, the disadvantaged. The poor are dependent on the help of others. They are in poverty. They are destitute. They have to beg to survive is actually part of the root of that word. And Jesus brings good news to the poor. And we see that in the Gospels, don't we? We find that Jesus feeds the poor. He saves the poor and needy. He heals the poor. And throughout the Bible, God makes clear that he has a special heart, a special compassion for the poor, for the needy, for the downtrodden, for the despised, for disadvantaged people. God has a special heart for people in that situation. Did you realize that? It's there throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. When Jesus was on earth, he didn't spend much time with the rich and famous, did he? He wasn't into today's celebrity culture. I don't think he would have been too interested in the television personalities of today and our celebrities. You know, Jesus didn't even spend most of his time with religious people either. In fact, he was among the sharpest critics of the religious people of his day. Instead, he ministered good news to the poor, to the disadvantaged, to the marginalized people of his society. And Jesus calls us to do the same today. We're to be like Jesus. And I'm so thankful that Rock Christian Center has so many ministries to the poor and needy. If Jesus was walking about Sheffield this week, I believe Jesus would be visiting not St. Stephen's this morning, but he'd be visiting our food bank. He'd be visiting the Lighthouse Project to the homeless and needy. He'd be visiting the CAP Debt Center. He would be visiting the homeless and the addicts who hang around our buildings and inject themselves with substances. Jesus would be engaging with the poorest in society, meeting their needs, saving their souls, setting them free from addiction, delivering them from demons, healing their diseases. And this is what Jesus is all about. And he calls you and me to partner with him in his mission, to proclaim good news to the poor. Amen? But there is also a sense in which we are all spiritually poor. We are all disadvantaged unless we have Jesus in our lives. You know, if we're not a disciple of Jesus, if we're not a follower of Jesus, Jesus tells us that we are spiritually poverty stricken. We may have plenty of money. We may have a good job. We may have a nice house. We may have the latest gadgets and possessions. But if we have no treasure in heaven, God sees us as poor and needy, blind and naked, captive to sin and evil. And the good news of Jesus is that we do not need to stay poor, praise God. We do not need to stay spiritually blind. We do not need to stay captive to sin. We do not need to end up in judgment and hell. Our sins can be forgiven. Our lives can be transformed. We can be spiritually rich and on our way to heaven, not hell. So I want to ask you this morning, are you poor financially? Are you poor materially? Are you in debt? Are you not sure where your next meal is coming from? Jesus is good news to you. Are you poor spiritually? Are you struggling with the stresses and pressures of life? Have you not got any treasure in heaven? Well, Jesus is good news for you as well. Jesus came that we might have life, life in all its fullness, praise God. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So first of all, Jesus is good news for the poor. Secondly, these verses in Luke 4 tell us that Jesus is good news of liberty and freedom. It says, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The Greek word for liberty means to release, to cancel, to pardon, to forgive. How many of us feel trapped in our lives? How many of us are held captive by fears, by insecurities, by habits, by addictions, by abusive relationships, by maybe self-harming, maybe mental illness? You know, we live in a free country, praise God. Amen. We live in a free country, and yet many people are prisoners to their own fears and anxieties. That's the reality. We live in a free country, and yet the people of Britain are not free. We see that all around us. They are held captive. They are oppressed. And Jesus said, God has sent me from heaven to earth to set people free from captivity, to set people free from oppression. Jesus has the power to set the captive free. Praise the Lord. Amen. give thanks to the Lord. He has the power to set the captive free. Are you living free today? Or are you captive to things, captive to situations, captive to possessions, captive to people you cannot escape from? Jesus can set you free, praise God. Do you feel oppressed by the stresses and the pressures of life? Oppressed by mental illness or depression or financial circumstances or abusive people around you? Jesus can set you free. He has broken the chains that hold you captive, praise God. I've told this story before, but one of my very vivid memories when I was a very small boy, 6 years of age in actual fact, was when Goldie the Eagle escaped from London Zoo. Yes, it was a long time ago, before some of you were born, 1965, that Goldie the Eagle escaped from London Zoo. Goldie the Eagle was chained to its perch on a long chain, and the roof of his cage was open, and he could fly to the extent of his chain, but then he had to return to his perch. But what no one realized was that one day the chain broke close to his talon. And he sat on the perch for a while, and then he took off from his perch expecting to be stopped in mid-flight, and he flew straight through the top of the cage out onto Regent's Park in the middle of London. And he had a great time for, I think, about 12 days that he was free. And he was terrorizing old ladies, taking their dogs for little dogs, chihuahuas and things like that. And he had a few ducks in Regent's Park and had a good meal on those and had a great time. And it was headline news everywhere in the newspapers, on the television and everything else. What was, Goldie the Eagle had escaped from London Zoo, and it certainly captured my imagination as a six-year-old. You know, why do I tell you that story? Well, Jesus has broken the chains that hold us captive. Jesus has broken the chains. Don't remain sitting on the perch as though you were chained. Jesus broke those chains so that you can be free. And you can fly free. I wouldn't advise going terrorizing old ladies and their dogs in Regent Park or anywhere else. But, you know, live in the freedom that Jesus has won for you. Amen. Live in the knowledge of that freedom, because it will transform your life. It will transform our lives. It will transform my life. And, you know, during my ministry, which is rather a long time now because I'm getting old, during my ministry, it's been wonderful to see people set free by Jesus, set free from addictions, set free from fears, set free from insecurities, set free from sickness, set free from oppression, set free from demonic influence, set free from dominating circumstances. I tell you, I would have loved to have seen more people set free than I have. But that is Jesus' work, not my work. Because it's Jesus who sets people free, not me who sets people free, or you who set people free, or some televangelist that sets people free. It's only Jesus who can set us free. So Jesus is good news to the poor. He's good news of freedom and liberty. And thirdly, he's good news of healing. Verse 18 tells us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim. And then it goes on to say, recovering of sight to the blind. You know, part of the very character of God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. God the Father sent Jesus to proclaim and minister healing to needy people. And throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus proclaimed healing. He healed people. He had the authority of God to heal people. Do you realize that Jesus never, ever prayed for someone to be healed? You realize that? He never, ever prayed for someone to be healed. He healed them because he had authority to heal. And that is good news for the sick. It's good news for the blind. It's good news for the lame. It's good news for the deaf. And it's even good news for the dead. Are you sick? Are you in pain? I'm not asking you if you are a pain. I'm asking you if you are in pain. Have you had a worrying test result? Jesus can heal you, praise God. That is good news. Jesus is no longer physically on earth. We can't go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to be healed by Jesus. But his power is the same today, praise God. Jesus Christ, as Paul has already quoted, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power is not diminishing. It's not like a battery that gradually runs down. Jesus has the same power today as he had when he was here on earth. He can still heal you today. His healing power has not diminished. But always remember that God is sovereign. Despite what some preachers say, Jesus didn't heal everyone. We're told that in these verses. Jesus didn't bring everyone who died back to life. And we don't know and we don't understand why God in his sovereignty heals and resurrects some but not others. But Jesus is the only one who has the power to heal. I can't heal anyone. Nor can any preacher, pastor, healer, evangelist. It is Jesus who heals people, not people. And that's why we pray to Jesus in his name that he would heal the sick. So Jesus is good news for the poor. He proclaims freedom and he proclaims healing. Fourthly, Jesus is good news of God's favor and blessing. In verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And then verse 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What is this promised year of the Lord's favor? A year here doesn't mean 365 days. It means more a time period, a season of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to proclaim a new season, a new covenant, a new beginning. And that's why we have the Old Testament with the old repetitive sacrificial system for dealing with sin. And then we have the New Testament with the coming of Jesus and the new covenant where sin was dealt with once and forever by the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross for our sin. In a few weeks' time, we will be celebrating Christmas and the birth of Jesus. Today, I believe, is the first Sunday of Advent. The angels at the birth of Jesus proclaimed, what did they proclaim? Good news of great joy. There is some good news, folks. You're allowed to smile in church, you know. Christians are supposed to be joyful. It's good news of great joy. It's good news of great joy, the angels proclaim. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This was a proclamation from the beginning that a new season had begun. A new season of God's extraordinary favor and blessing. And the wonderful good news is today we are still living in that same season of God's amazing blessing and favor where God's saving power is freely available to us all. We are living in the season of God's extraordinary favor and blessing. Between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, which is still to come. Today is the day of salvation. These are the times, when God's forgiveness, when God's freedom, when God's healing, when God's salvation, when God's blessing, when God's favor is freely available to us all. Freely available to you, to your family and friends, to your workmates, to your neighbors. And that is why Jesus is good news. It is why we have good news to share with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, with all those around us. It's why Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded us. But we need to remember, as we celebrate that good news, we need to remember that the year, the season of God's favor and blessing will not last forever. Jesus promises he will return. And when he returns, there will be a judgment day. And on that day, it will be too late to become a Christian then. Too late to receive that free forgiveness, that free salvation, that free freedom, that free healing. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to respond to the good news of Jesus, because we do not know what tomorrow may bring. God invites us to respond to the good news of Jesus, to experience the favor and the blessing of God in our lives, to experience forgiveness of sin, freedom from oppression, liberty from captivity, healing from sickness of body, mind, and spirit. How can we experience God's favor and blessing in our lives? How can we experience forgiveness from sin and freedom and God's favor and blessing? By repenting of our sin. By turning away from sin and inviting Jesus into our lives. So in summary of these verses, these tremendous verses, Jesus was sent by God the Father to proclaim good news to the poor. Freedom for the captive, liberty from oppression, recovery of sight for the blind, the year, the season of God's favor and blessing. Let us thank God for the good news of Jesus and respond in our own hearts and lives in repentance and faith, that we may experience the full blessing of God in our lives. Let's pray together, shall we? And then we're going to share communion together. Father God, Lord, we thank and we praise you that you came with great good news of great joy. Lord, we thank and we praise you that you brought good news for the poor. Lord, that you proclaim freedom for the captive, liberty from oppression, healing, the season of God's favor and blessing. Lord, help us to respond to you in repentance and faith and to experience that good news. Lord, not just in our minds, but Lord, experience it in our hearts, in our souls, Lord. That, Lord, you would fill us with that good news of great joy. And Lord, that that joy would bubble over out of our lives to impact our family and our friends, our neighbors and our workmates. Those around us, Lord, would be impacted, Lord, with that bubbling of good news of great joy coming out of our lives. Lord, fill us up with the Holy Spirit and send us out in the power of the Spirit to reach a lost people with the good news of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, as we share communion now, Lord, we thank and we praise you that the heart of the good news of Jesus is proclaimed to us through Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross for our sin. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.